Well, this morning, we're going to go back into our teaching again on living a life of faith. And last week, we just really did spend the time on talking about that. And I hope you got across the fact to you that, you know, living a life of faith is not a something we just, well, maybe I can choose to do, really. It's the we're going to find out as we go in our teaching here, it's the only way to please God. And it's not said that, you know, it says the just shall or they will. You can use the word will there also, is where it's translated shall. It can be just as much translated the word will. In other words, you will live by faith. In other words, if you want to live a life of justification before God or of righteousness before God, you're going to have to live a life of faith. And we need to understand that. Many people are trying to please God in many different ways, doing many different things. But the just or the righteous ones shall live by faith. That's how you do it. It's a walk or a life of faith. And we're going to begin to look at things. We talked last week, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when we're dealing with areas of faith, it's walking in light of the Word, what the Word of God says. And I mean, today there's sure, man, a load of things pushing against telling us the Bible's not true. The Bible's not right. Don't follow the Word of God. Don't follow God's Word. We got the preachers standing in the pulpits and they're telling us, you know, they're making fun of people who say they hear from God. I'm going to tell you what, your Bible is 100% written by people who heard from God. If you don't believe in hearing from God, then you don't believe the Bible. You can say anything you want, but you don't believe it's true. All those prophets, all those things that spoke, all those books. You realize the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. We know this. Moses was not alive in Genesis. He wrote that book. He heard from heaven and wrote that book. We got creation from Moses wrote it. He wrote it. Now, did Moses lie? Did he lie about that? Well, you have to decide. See, people heard from God and they wrote it down. So, you know, it's one thing about it. If they needed to hear from God too, you need to hear from God other than the book. Do you know that? You need to hear from God other than the book. You need to have, you know, people talk, I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but God don't talk to people anymore. You know what? You can't have a personal relationship with Jesus just with a book. You know, I'll go give you a book of George Washington and you go have a personal relationship with him. See how it works. You know, you'll never have one. Hallelujah. You know, there's so much nonsense taught today. There's so much idiocy. And really, it's out here, and what it does, it moves people away from faith instead of moving them toward faith. It makes us begin to question what should, which, you know, there's no reason to question. My words, there's one thing, as I was a young child, I always believed in the areas of the supernatural. I believed it existed, it was true, it was real. You know, people would get over and they'll make fun of you today. You know, just like with people today, you know, they talk about seeing ghosts and things. And you know, people do see spirits. What really bothers me is Christians don't see them. That bothers me. It shows me this, that generally the church is pretty spiritually dead. The church is pretty spiritually dead. You know, we should be seeing, we should be aware of things around us. We should be aware of spirits around us. And we're not. You know, lots of times spirits are doing things and we're blaming people. And you know what? It's because of our lack of really spirituality is why, you know, we're running around because we don't know what's around us. We live by sight. Instead of living by faith, we live by sight. We live by what we see, feel. That's what's real to us. And so we got to live a life of faith. And we want to talk about that this morning. We're going to go over to Hebrews. To the 11th chapter. Now, my end goal in this teaching is we're going to talk about the life of Abraham, but God told me to build some things going there. Because of talking about Abraham, if you don't understand these things that I'm teaching, we can talk about Abraham and what he did. It won't do a good thing for you. You won't know why Abraham did what he did and walk like he did. You know, you'll think you'll hear a nice story about Abraham and, well, that was for Abraham and God said to Abraham. But it speaks to us today. Abraham is called in the Scriptures the father of our faith. If he fathered faith in the earth for humanity, do you know he walked by faith before Jesus ever came to the earth and walked by faith? He walked by faith. He was a guy who set things in motion that moved everything to today. The Messiah, you know, we worship a Messiah. It came because that man walked by faith and followed the plan and purpose of God in the earth. He heard from God. He didn't have a book to follow. He heard from heaven. Thank God. He heard from heaven. And I love his story in the book. Hallelujah. People of faith inspire me, and he inspires me, hallelujah, to walk by faith. In Hebrews 11, we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. Very familiar scriptures for people who teach faith and you listen to faith. But it's always good to go over, because I don't know of anybody that arrived. People say, well, I've heard these scriptures so many times. You'd never say that. I've read these scriptures millions of times and love them just every much bit as much when I hear them again. If you ever get to the point you think you've heard enough of it, you've already gone too far. You're in trouble. You know, the Word of God always ought to be wonderfully a light to you, hallelujah, to your path. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So, faith is what? The substance. And one of the things I would say is this, one translation says this, and I like it a lot, because it says, faith gives substance to things hoped for. It gives substance. In other words, hope in itself does not have substance. Hope is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. If you're trying to believe God and get into faith and you don't really have any hope, forget it. It ain't going to work. Many people try to do that. They're in a situation they consider hopeless, and they're trying to believe God. Well, forget it. Until you gain hope, you have nothing for faith to bring substance to. You know, if you're sick and you don't have a hope to get well, the doctor told you're going to die and you believe it, once you've received it to believe that that's true, you have no place to bring substance to. If you believe what the doctor said is true, then you're going to die, because you have no place for faith to bring substance to anything. You have to have the hope of living. And hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking. It's something, you know, you'd like to have. Most people use it, and I've said this many times, most people use the word hope. What they're saying is, boy, you know, more or less sort of they wish something good will happen. They'll say, well, I hope this turns out all right. And what they're saying, I ain't got a clue which way this is going. I'm just having wishful thinking that this might go right. You can't bring substance to wishful thinking. You can't bring substance to that hope. You must have Bible hope. The word in the Bible that is translated in our English as hope, the Greek word, actually almost is always used on the positive side of things almost constantly. In Greek writing, it really is a confident expectation of good. You have to come to the place, and you need to know this, if you're going to walk by faith, you have to come to the place to believe you got a good God. He's going to do something good for you no matter what you're going through. You got to come to that place. You can't follow the God that's been taught to most people. The God that makes you sick, the God that kills you, the God that kicks you when you're down, the God that's doing every ugly thing for you. Because if you believe God makes you sick, you can't have hope to get better. You don't have a basis of hope. You're going to have to hear from him say, well, look, you're going to have God say, look, I specifically want to heal you. You're going to have to hear that to have any hope. Because you're going to sit, boss, here's where you're going to be. Well, maybe it's my time to croak. Maybe it's my time to die. Maybe he's doing this from some great wisdom that he has. And you'll think along those lines. And you won't have anything for your faith to bring substance to. So you need to understand this. Faith really does. Faith makes your hope real. It takes faith, takes hope, and turns it into a reality for you that you got it. It is yours. And until you come that place, so you need hope. Don't ever look at hope as something is like, well, that's not a big deal. Hope's a very big deal. You need hope. Many times I have run into Christians that have been in the position where they were really what they would consider a hopeless situation, and they're trying to believe the Word of God. You know, the first thing God will bring to you is hope. He can't bring you faith first, can he? Can God bring you, if he bought you faith before hope, what's it going to turn it into? It's nothing. God's a God of hope. The New Testament talks about him being a God of hope. You know, people change some of the translations, have changed things, because the faith people turned around and didn't like the word hope, and they went in and made translations and changed times it should say hope. Because you'll never learn how to walk by faith unless you understand hope and faith. You need the two. You don't get away with just one. Faith doesn't override everything else. People like to try to do that, but it don't work. You need hope. And see, this is one of the things is you get over into the areas where you hear, you know, sort of like the woman with the issue of blood. She got hope first. She heard about Jesus. She heard that she had an opportunity to get healed. And then faith came and she said, you know, if I can down there and touch his garment, I can be made well. Glory to God. And what'd she say? Let's get the bag packs. We're going on vacation. Hallelujah. We're going downtown where I ain't been in a long time. We're going down there and I heard that Jesus is there. I'm going down there and touch him. You ever see, but she had to have hope. She had to hear something that gave her hope, a confident expectation that she could have something good. If she thought, well, I'm going to go down there and see if that might work. There's no hope in that. That's just wishful thinking. Well, we'll try this. Well, I tried this out, you know, and now I'm going to try this. And now I'm going to try this. I tried this latest thing that they said, you know, and I stepped this latest diet, and I tried that, and that didn't work. Well, let's try the next one, and let's try this, and let's try that. And this is all people do. They never hear, and, you know, it's something, you know, they have no really never nothing to bring them to faith. It's always trying something, doing something. It's not no, you know, if I do this, it's going to work. See, when I found out from the Word of God, when I found out the areas of healing, that God's Word was true and right. Once I got a hold of that, I never, to me, it changed everything. Anytime sickness came along, it was like, my God, I can go to faith's door, grab a hold of it, and it'll be mine. I can take, because I knew that God wanted me well. God wanted me whole. I listened to enough teaching to know that God, I had no doubt in my mind that God was not trying to make Ed sick, that God was not against Ed. So what I had a lot of hope. Hallelujah. If you got a lot of hope, you can have a lot of faith. You ain't got a lot of hope, you ain't got nothing to turn nothing into. Hallelujah. If you're still questioning in your mind whether God wants to do good on you, well, maybe the reason this is happening, because I'll tell you what, the devil will come and talk to you. You'll think many times it's your own mind thinking. You'll think maybe sometimes it's something, you know, God's saying to you, well, you're in this lousy position for a reason. You know what? I was in lousy positions for a reason because God was going to teach me some things. I knew about it. God don't hold classes and don't tell you about it. The Bible tells us He don't hide things from us. Now, is that true or not? You know, all I ever hear preachers running around telling about God hiding things. We just don't know. Bunch of knuckleheads. I read the Bible. That ain't true. I looked in the book and found out they didn't know what they were talking about. God wants us to know. He put the Holy Ghost, the big know-it-all, lives inside of us, but we're supposed to be stupid. Well, why don't He move out then? What's the point? Why would you want to have the know-it-all inside of you that knows everything that Jesus Christ could possibly know, who's God, and say, I ain't going to tell you guys what's going on. I ain't going to show you. You're in a dilemma? Good luck. Best you can do. No, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit's in you to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to you. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. I ain't trying to get it. We got it. You know, quit trying to get what you got. Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Quit trying to get it. Why are you trying to get the mind of Christ? You got it. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Yet people are saying, well, I tell you, I just got to get the mind of Christ. Well, you'll never get it. You'll never have it. Hallelujah. The Bible says I got it. I took it back when I first got born again. I took the mind of Christ. I said, the Bible says I got it, so I must have it. Sure didn't seem like it, though. Didn't seem like I had a half-decent mind at all. But the Bible said I had the mind of Christ, and I refuse to call the Bible a lie. I refuse to go lie to other people and tell them things that the Bible don't say. Tell them, well, you know, I'm trying to get the mind of Christ. I'm trying to... That's lying. It was already given to me. It says you have it. Why would you go looking for what you got? Hallelujah. You know, folks, that's walking by faith. That's walking by faith. Hallelujah. I definitely was calling things that be not as though they were. But the Bible said I had the mind of Christ. I'll tell you, you'll never develop the mind of Christ until you believe you have it. You'll never gain it. You'll just sit around and work because what you want is one day you come up with a great idea and say, oh, now I must have it. I can see it and feel it, you know. No, you start to walk in it. Faith wants to bring substance to your hope. God wants you to have great hope. All kind of things in the Bible. I know there's things that, you know, over time I went through and things, and all of a sudden, God brought hope. It's like, I'll never forget. I've told the story many times, being in my bedroom as a young Christian, only born again a few months, and a young man died and went off to hell from a family who were Christian, but their son died young. went off to hell without Christ. And I just remember, to me, that was heartbreaking. Most Christians, I don't think much about anybody goes to hell. They really don't, in their conscience, people go to hell. I'll tell you what, I believe people go to hell. I first got born again. I heard the man's voice. My neighbor committed suicide. I heard his voice cry out from hell standing in my living room. I asked God where Bob was, and the voice of the Lord spoke to me and says, Bob's in hell. And I heard Bob's voice cry in agony. It was awful. It was the most awful cry. It wasn't like just a painful, it was a mournful, wailing cry. Somebody lost for eternity. And you know, I tell you, when I heard that young man died, see, that had happened to me beforehand. When I heard that young man died, I just really gripped me about that. And I'll never forget, I was in the bedroom, 321 Canal Street, walking back and forth, praying in the room. And I'll never forget walking back and forth that bedroom. And I said, God, I just, talked to God. I just talk to God like I talk to people. See, I believe He's present. I don't believe I have to do thee, thou, and all that. People used to do that because it's the way they talked. But we don't talk like that today. At least I don't. If you came up to me and started talking thee and thou, I'd lay hands on your head and say, God, deliver them from stupidity. We don't talk like that. And I just said, God, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven if my family didn't go. Now, I was just a young Christian at that time. Wanda wasn't born again. I got born again. She wasn't born again yet. My kids are just little, they're just, Elena was just born, and, but our kids are little, but I always thought about that. We go to heaven, this is what most people think is going to happen. When they go to heaven, all of a sudden a switch turns and you just forget everything about the past. I don't know where people read that at. I don't know where people got that idea. There's no such thing in the Bible that all of a sudden we just become Mr. and Mrs. Stupid. And all of a sudden just don't know nothing of the past anymore or anything like that. Now, the past ain't going to ever dominate us and rule us. But I'm going to tell you what, I said to the Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven if my family didn't go. Dear Lord, lose your family? See, a lot of people sit around and say, well, they don't know. See, I never had any teaching in that area, so I had no hope in that area. I didn't have any hope. Didn't have a good teacher around, a good preacher that I had heard teach on any of that stuff to ever tell me nothing. And I needed to hear from heaven. And I just said, God, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven. Lose my family. My God, that'd be awful. And I said that to him. And just as clear, this voice said, go read the 128th Psalm. And, I turned around and it startled me. And it was so clear. And I was standing there in the living room, in the bedroom, and I was thinking about my Bible was laying over on the nightstand. But I was thinking at the time when he said it, is there that many Psalms? I mean, I was a young Christian. I didn't know. I didn't sit down and start off memorizing the books of the Bible and then going through and seeing how many chapters. People try to, sometimes I've had people try to impress me about what they know about how many scriptures in the Bible. Everybody that's ever tried to do that usually is a spiritual idiot. They think that they can tell you all these wonderful facts and figures. I don't know the facts and figures, but I do know Jesus. I've run into him a few times. I know him. And I know the author of the book. Glory to God, I'm getting no better than that. Hallelujah. And so, I went over and got my Bible. And, here's the whole thing was, and what I want you to understand is hope came to me. I had no hope. I thought, my God, if this is the way this system runs, this is just sort of like, man, do I have any control? Can I do anything about this? Can I? Well, at that time, I didn't know I could. I had no idea whether I had any authority to do anything in it. I hadn't been taught that yet. I hadn't been taught those things. But I'm about to learn a real good lesson on the areas concerning faith. And it's first because God brought me hope. And I went and read the 128th Psalm. And the Psalm, generally what it speaks in the opening of Psalms, it talks about the man who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. It says His wife will be as a fruitful vine by His house, and His children as olive plants around His table. Thus shall be the man who fears the Lord. Now it says to walk, he fears the Lord and walks in His way. And when I'll never forget, standing there reading that. Now see, I believe the Holy Ghost is in God's real. He's right here present. Because that same presence had to be there because I didn't read the scripture out loud, but he was there and he knew what I was reading. And when I got done reading that scripture, this is what that voice then spoke to me. It said, if you will do what I tell you to do, I'll guarantee you your family. He said, if you will do what I tell you to do. And I instantly got a revelation on that scripture because it says the man who fears the Lord and walks in His way. In other words, it's not somebody, he didn't say, the guy who believes the word's true. He didn't say that. He said, the guy who fears the Lord and walks in His way. So in other words, I had a walk to do it, and I made a commitment that day when I heard that, and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, because I thought, man, the payoff, I'm guaranteed that my wife and kids are going to end up in heaven. To me, that was worth doing. That was worth, most people don't find it worth doing. Most people are, you know what, too selfish in their own lives living the way they are than listening to God. They're trying to take care of their families and do it their way. And I learned, no, I have to follow God. You know, sometimes you follow God, your family's not so tickled. But you know what? I learned this. I'm going to follow God. They can get as upset as they want. I'm going to follow God because it's for their benefit. I'm going to follow God for their benefit. I'm not going to ask them if they're pleased with it or they care. I don't really care what they think about the subject. I made a commitment to God. Therefore, I'm going to follow that. Why? Because there's an outcome. Faith will bring me that outcome. I got hope. My God, I can guarantee, God said, I will guarantee you your family. That's what He said to me. And I've walked ever since that. You know, when things came along and things happened at times and stuff got off course, or sometimes with kids, sometimes get off course, I would just stop and say, Lord, if I missed it, you tell me. You let me know. And I will repent and get back in line. But Lord, if I'm walking in line, I believe I am, then I expect you to straighten that out. Get that fixed. And you know what? You believe how many times stuff got fixed. Stuff got fixed. See, I'd remind him of that in the bedroom. Lord, this is what you told me, that if I would do what you told me to do. See, most people never heard from heaven about much of anything. They don't have nothing to stand on. People are trying to get out of here and are trying to get things done, but they're really walking in our own ways. We're not walking by faith. We don't know what God said on the subject. We're trying to believe God for things. We're trying to work things out. You got to come over in those areas. When you're dealing with other people, you know, we can't make people do what we want. I don't know about you. I've tried that. Man, I learned a long time ago. It don't pay to even try that in the church. I don't even try it in the church anymore. You know, you chase around after people. You waste your time. People are going to do what they want, you know. So you got to find ways. If you want influence, God's going to have to do something. We're going to have to find out where God's at in something. Hook up with where God's at in it. First of all, you need to gain hope. There's things about many times people are trying to change, and they don't really have a place of even hope in it. They're just kids. You know, it's sort of like, you know, blindfolded, throwing darts at a dartboard, hoping, you know, maybe let's see if we can hit the dart, you know, the center of the dartboard sometimes. And that's what a lot of people call life of faith, when that isn't a life of faith at all. It's a guessing game. You need to hear from heaven. I had no hope of that situation. That's one thing. I felt so bad about that is because I was hopeless. I had no basis of guarantee. I was told by people, you can't guarantee certain things. You just can't guarantee this. You just can't guarantee that. God just told me that wasn't true. He said to me, if you'll walk in my way and you'll do what I tell you to do, He said, I'll guarantee you your family. I've never forgotten those words. And I want to tell you what, those words will come to pass. They will happen. I believe it's true. I believe it's right. God will carry that out for me. Hallelujah. See, God gave me hope. He gave me that scripture. Hallelujah. And that scripture gave me hope. Hallelujah. And when I had got hope from that scripture, my words, hold it. God promised somebody that their wife would be as a fruitful vine there by their house and her children as all the plants around the table. That don't sound like the family of America, does it? And I said, woo! Man, I need some of that. But God said that if a man feared the Lord and walked in His ways, his wife would be like that. His children would be like that. And I said, uh-oh. Ed's going to have a change of life. I started very young. I started at 30 years old going through the change of life. Most people live and die and never go through God's change of life. The Lord told me one time, He said, less than 6% of Christians ever walk in my perfect will. That's what He told me. He said, less than 6%. He spoke to me of the scriptures that we know over there in Romans, where it talks about knowing the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, majority of Christians live in my good will. He said, a percentage make it to, acceptable. But He said, my perfect will, very few ever make it there. He said, they're happy where they're at. They get happy where I'm on my way to heaven. You know, I'm going to be there someday. Life's pretty good, you know. And they just stay there. They just stay there. And I want to encourage you, because we're talking about a life of faith. Life of faith is lived on different levels. You can't, you know, as I understand, Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin, and this is one of the things that really brought the revelation to me when the Lord had first spoken to me about from Romans and gave me that scripture. When Kenneth Hagin had his visitation, Jesus, and Jesus spoke, and he said, you never have to ask me to bless you if you're walking in my perfect will, because my full blessing is on my perfect will. See, when I saw that, I thought, my God, that's just right in line with what He was telling me. See, there's a lot of things I found out I didn't have to ask for when I started getting over to the perfect will of God. I didn't have to be asking so much for stuff. Why? Because God's full blessing is there. So you want to get to that place. That's the place you want to go. Hey, everybody starts off in the good will of God. You got saved, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to go from there. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost and still never really leave just a good will. It's good. It's good to be saved. It's all right. But I'm going to tell you what. There is a place called perfect. Perfect will of God. In that place, you and I never have to ask God to bless us. Never. Why? Because Jesus Christ Himself said, my full blessing is on that place. My full blessing. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I want to go there. Hallelujah. I've lived a lot of places, but I'd rather live there. Hallelujah. I would rather go to that place. Now, I will tell you straight out, times I've walked in the perfect will of God, there's times I haven't. And you know what? I've always known it. I've had to do a lot of asking on the other side. I'm just going to tell you, that's why some of you have to do a lot of asking. Now, it's wonderful to learn faith and learn about how the asking goes and that stuff. But you know, I'm going to tell you what, the perfect will is a much better place. I found out when I get over and walking in the perfect will, I am concerned less about what's going on around me. I'm concerned less about it. Things don't move me as easily. Things don't bother me as much in that when I'm walking in that place. And so I'm not as cognizant of my physical need. See, if you don't walk there, you will be more drawn over to physical things on the physical side. You'll be more drawn to it. Well, I know that. My words. I got flesh, folks. I got flesh. That doesn't mean when we get over there, we ignore the natural side of us and we don't ever ask about anything. But you understand this, God's full blessing is there. I've learned over the years, when I've heard God tell me something or tell me to do something, usually when God told me to do something, I might sit and take time to pray to find out what He exactly wants me to do with it or about it. But I don't ever pray a lick about whether God wants me to do it. I know that. Most people who live out in the area of the place of the good, you know, area of God, you know, they're always operating on the areas of praying about everything. Well, am I going to do this? I need to pray so God will bless me when I go do it. The reason they do is because they're just walking out in that good place. They don't know they're blessed. And they're always trying to get God to bless them. Why? They're not sure they're supposed to be there. They don't know. You need to know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be walking. And I've learned over the years when God would tell me to do something, and I would know it was God speaking to me about it. I never prayed a lick to find out if He wanted me to. Now, you really want me to do this? And I learned from that because when I started the church, because I got over in a thing and God told me to start the church, and I prayed around and messed around 9 months with it, trying to get out of it, till He got fed up with me. And let me tell you, He's gotten fed up with every one of you once in a while. Some of you caught on to it, some of you didn't. But He got fed up with it. And one day I was praying, talking to Him about it, And there was that cute voice that talked to me in a room back when I was a young Christian. He was really nice and sweet to me about my family. And this is what he said. Get up off your feet, and I don't want to hear you mention it again. You know what to do. And he said this real kindly. You better do it. Well, see, if I ain't going to walk in His perfect will, I have no right to call on the blessing of God. I'd have no right to call on the blessing for my family. I have no right to call on it in disobedience. I have no right to call, say, hey, yeah, Lord. He's going to say, hey, yeah, what about the church, dummy? So, you know, I don't know about you. God's had to scold me at times. Hallelujah. So, you know, I did what Kenneth Hagin said one time. The Lord told him, called him up to heaven one time, talked to him about the healing ministry. And he said, I don't know if I wanted to do that. And the Lord said, you're going to do it or else. And he said, I didn't like that else stuff. So I decided I'd do it. And that's what happened that day. I decided this must be one of those else situations. And better strap up. So, hallelujah. You know, I'm Garrett, no, none of you ever had that problem about over disobedience. You were just always so, I know you people were just so sweet and always, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. I can tell you this. All these people, think, you know, they talk about God's gifting. Everything God ever gifted me to do, I didn't want to do it. You know, all these people got all these things they call talents and, oh, they want to do them and all, but I don't know nothing about that. I've never had a relationship with God. He's always called me to do what I didn't want to do. I don't think He deals with most people any different. People just do what they want to do. They do it for God and think they're going to get blessed through it. You better know God called you to do it. Whew, that's good preaching. Man, when he called me and told me to start a church, I'm going to tell you, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was pastor. That, I'm serious. When I say last, I ain't lying about that. I'm going to tell you what, I'd have rather stayed working in Lebanon County Prison for the rest of my life than to pastor. I had no desire to pastor a church. I was like, I don't want to do that, Lord. No, no, no. Send me to prison. It'll be an easier life. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. See, some people are like, oh, well, you know, I always just wanted to do that. I ain't got no clue. I didn't. Hallelujah. God had to tell me. I'd have probably still be today praying on my knees. So trying to get that thing changed. Hallelujah. But God is a God of hope. And it's number one, He has to bring you to a place of hope, because there's no place to walk in faith until you have hope. And the Word of God is a place where you find hope. You'll begin to look. See, we talk about faith comes by hearing the Word, but also hope comes. Hope comes from the Word of God. You gain hope. You'll find out things you never knew before or understood, and it'll give you hope. Hallelujah. So the things that you want or desire from God, they're in the Word. You find out by praying in the Word. You know, ask God questions. I do. I'm a big questioner. I'll ask. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I ask the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, what about this or what about that? I don't know about you, I like information. I don't always get answers so quick. I found out sometimes, Keith Moore made the mention about the fact of an incident where he asked God about something. He said, God answered me 11 years later. But he said, I thought I would be able to receive the answer. But he said, when God told me about it, he said, I realized the things that God took me through in life, that because of the things he had learned over those 11-year period, he said, you know, I never was ready till that time to actually receive what God was going to say to me about that. He said, God didn't hold out the answer. He said, if God would have gave it to me, he said, it probably ruined him. He'd have done something dumb with it. And so, you know, sometimes God doesn't tell us right away, but we need to understand things in the areas. One thing is God's Word. God's Word will always bring you in the areas of hope. It will always do that. God will show you His plan and purposes to do good to you, to bless you, to help you. And I'm going to tell you, if you listen to people who teach anything else other than that's God's plan. Now, God can't always bless everybody and do everything, but it's His plan to do it. You need to understand that. Some people don't live in a place or live like so they can get blessed. They do it to themselves. But it is God's perfect will for you to be blessed, to be well, to have money, to do that's God's plan for you. And you know, God will always bring you into hope in those areas. He'll always bring hope. Hallelujah. You know, we don't ever teach to people salvation, you know, you've gone too far. Maybe some people do. I don't know. It depends, I guess, how Calvinistic you are in your beliefs. If you're very Calvinistic, you know, well, maybe that person's going to be saved and that one's not. You know, they're just, who knows? You know, I read in the Word, it's God's willing that all, that everybody should come to repentance. That's the will of God. So to me, there is hope for everybody. Because just in that scripture alone. I don't need 27 other scriptures to prove that out. That scripture alone declares God's will. God's will is for everybody to be saved. So it doesn't say everybody to be saved who, you know, isn't too bad. You could take the most vile, worst person. You know, you take like the Apostle Paul. The church wasn't quite so sure whether that scripture really existed or not. And actually, Paul had to bring that scripture out. He was a guy who wrote those scriptures. And he did because he came to the place where he found out God will save everybody. He saved me. I'm murdering, stinking, you know, whatever else. Working against God and God would save me. And so he wrote those scriptures. He put them out there. He put out there the fact, see, God is willing to save everybody. So everybody, no matter the condition, I have met over the years people who came and they wanted to follow God, but they had trouble. They couldn't believe God would want to save them because of their life, the way they lived. They thought they have done too many bad things. Well, what do? You take them to those scriptures. Those scriptures bring them hope. You take them to things in the Word that brings hope to them. You take them and say, no. This is God's plan. God didn't say if you were a pretty nice guy, He'd like to save you. If you're a pretty nice guy, you don't need saved. If anybody can live pretty nice without God, you know, either they're the biggest liar in the world or just so deceived. A lot of people think they're pretty good. They're not, but they think they're pretty good. You know, if we went around America today, you know, they did some survey stuff around this, asking people, questioning people about whether they thought they were good or not. You know, some of the biggest stinkers of the bunch thought they were pretty good people. And when they talked to them, asked them about them being good, they said yes. Then they asked them about, did you ever do this? Did you ever do that? My God, they were guilty of it all. But they were a pretty good person. Hallelujah. Well, I run into the fact that I was a sinner. But you know what? I thank God because just things that I heard over time, even though a lot of it was sort of used in wrong ways, God could use scriptures that I heard in past before I was saved to tell me things, to show me things. And He brought hope to me of salvation. And He will always bring hope of salvation to an individual. Why? A person can't come to faith until they come to hope. And then faith comes. When faith comes, then a person can take their hope and make it theirs. Hallelujah. It becomes theirs. It puts substance to that hope. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what is not seen. Faith is never operating on what you see around you. This, you need to learn to, and I really want to encourage you in this. You need to learn to understand this fact. Because faith does not operate in the seen realm. Too many people are trying to walk by faith, and they are mostly tied to the seen on what they're trying to walk by faith in. They're most aware of how they feel in their body, how their problems, that dominates the majority of how they think and what's going on. Faith doesn't have anything. So what happens? They let that dominate. And they let that overrule even the faith that they have. They let it overrule. They listen more to the outside than they do to the inside. Even if their inner man knows that healing belongs to them, they're more dominated at times by what people say, whether it's a doctor or whatever else. You know, I've learned over time. I've learned how. I never work against a doctor. A doctor tell me that certain thing's wrong or something's wrong with this. That don't bother me in the least. I hear people say, oh, well, I tell them I don't want to hear that negative confession. Well, hold it. What would a moron go to a doctor for if you didn't want to hear the wrong thing said? Well, then what did you go for? You're the idiot. It ain't the doctor. It's the idiot that went there and expected to hear everything's all right. Well, what if you thought everything was all right? What were you doing there? Dear God, let's get real, people. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff called faith out there, and it's insanity. It ain't got no faith near it. But we have it in our little minds, and the devil's got us believing this little crazy stuff, and we're running around talking like faith. There ain't no faith in it. Dear Lord. If a doctor tells me physically what's wrong, don't faze me at all. I can go to faith. That don't bother me in the least what he said. You know, he's doing the best. He's telling you what's wrong. You wouldn't need faith if it wasn't nothing wrong. Why would you be believing for healing if it ain't wrong? You know, so I'll tell you, this is why. See, being a pastor ain't easy, because you want to choke people. Because you hear the dumbest things. See, I learned over there. It doesn't matter what somebody else says. See, but you learn and develop over there in faith. A lot of people, they're just so moved by what's going on in the realm of the seen. And I had to learn. You walk by faith. That can't be what governs you. You're going to hear those things. You're going to see things. You're going to feel things. We're not denying that exists. But that doesn't move what I do. That doesn't move. That's not going to move by what I'm going to believe in and things I'm going to act on. I'm going to do it based upon what I believe, not based on, even though there's other things. Physically are true. They're so. You know, I hear people do, Christian people do all the time. And you know, you guys have heard me talk about the fact, you know, people will go to the doctor and they go to the doctor and they'll having something. I'm believing God to help me. And whatever the doctor says how long it's going to take them to recover, they agree 100%. And yet they're talking about having a quick recovery. Well, you know, I have to be off work 6 weeks. Well, then you're not going to recover for 6 weeks. So get over it. Keep your blab mouth shut. You know, quit talking so I'm on faith that I'm believing to recover. You're not believing to recover. You're believing to be off work 6 weeks. I heard you. That's what you want. You see, you know, people, well, I'll tell you what, because, you know, I will guarantee you that a doctor in the world wouldn't say to Ed, you're crazy in what you do. You're insane. You do dumb stuff. Could you imagine doctors the day when I had a heart attack and I got up and went for a run? Could you imagine this congregation if they known it? I'll guarantee you, most people would have never stood with me. I know that. Hey, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just telling you, I know the way it is. When you get in a serious faith fight, there's few that stand that won't think that you're crazy, because when you start doing things different than what everybody else says, and I'm going to tell you what, I have gone through the bombardment. It don't bother me no more. I've learned, well, that's what happens. That's just what goes on. That's just the way that it is. Well, now I think he ought to use better sense than that. You know, the doctor said he ain't supposed to be doing that. The doctor said he shouldn't do that. If I know in my heart I can do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live out of that. It's on the inside. What's on the inside? Hallelujah. We can't let, if we let natural things dictate to us, if they become the dictate to us, what they will do, first of all, they will rob you of hope. You know, people think they're in a faith fight. Most people are in a hope fight. You know why? Because the devil first will rob your hope. And when your hope's gone, there ain't a faith fight no more. Faith fight has left. There is nothing for faith to do. He'll come to try to make you feel like you're in a hopeless situation. That's the first thing the devil did to me when I had my heart attack. That's the first thing he did to me was try to rob my hope. The first thing he did to come and tell me, you're going to die. And when I said I was going for a run, my God, him and 20 other demons came along to tell me I was going to die. Thank God, I was so glad I didn't have anybody around at the time. I didn't need somebody to tell me, my God, you look like you're dying. So I'm going to guarantee you, when I had it happen to me, I went in the house and got dressed to go out and run. And I went in to get dressed and I looked in the mirror. And I'm going to tell you what, I was dying. I was dying. I knew it when it happened. My body was dying. But there was something on the inside. There was a life on the inside. And that life on the inside was bigger than the life that's on the outside. And I took a hold of that life on the inside, and I said, I'm going for a run. Now look, there is no natural reasoning that could be put in place to make anybody think naturally that what I did made any sense. That is, what I did was unexplainable, so I never try to explain it to anybody. It don't matter. If you don't understand faith, then you'll never understand what I was doing. The only way you can understand what I did is if you understand faith. But the devil wanted to rob me of hope. That's what he wanted me to do. He came to rob me of hope. He reminded me. He kept throwing my condition at me. He kept throwing me. People say, well, he's after your faith. No, he wasn't. My faith inside, if he would have gotten me believing, he wanted me to get over to see you're in a hopeless situation, then I'd throw my faith out. I had faith on the inside of me. I had faith. But he's trying to rob me of hope. You ain't got a chance doing this. What are the people in church going to say when they find you, you're their pastor, laying along the road dead? Boy, that was said to me so many times while I was going down that road. That was said to me so many times. And I'll tell you what, I was about agreeing with that. My body felt like it was going to drop along the road. I'll tell you, if I went by how I felt like I was going to die. I felt like I was going to die running, going down that road. I didn't feel good at all. I don't know, chest pains and everything else, nausea and all this stuff, and you're going down the road. I'm just having myself a great time. I mean, just praising and worship God and singing, you know. But there's one thing that I have learned, you know. There's a boldness that gets on the inside of you, and there's an anger. I'll tell you what, I got mad. Mad in the right way can carry you a long distance. And I got mad. So you got to get over, there's things in life you got to learn to hate. You'll never have hope till you learn to hate some things. If you don't hate sickness and disease, you're always going to battle it. It's always going to be a big war for you. If you don't hate it, if you think it's all right, just take a pill, it'll be okay. If you deal with it that way, you're going to compromise what it is. Any sickness, any pain, any injury, any weakness is what God, when God gave man life in this earth, Satan came and stole that. And Satan is the author of every pain. Man had no pains. Man didn't have any discomforts. He didn't have any sicknesses. That came when sin entered the earth. Like Kenneth Hagin said, and the first time I heard he say that, I thought it was a terrible thing to say. I thought, my, he sounds hard saying it. But as I grew spiritually, I learned to know it was true. He said, it ain't a sin to get sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. See, most people don't look like that yielding to sickness is anything bad. Most Christians believe, well, sickness is in the earth. It's just going to get on me. Well, sin's on the earth too. That's why Christians live like hell too. It's because it just gets on you. You're living in the earth. I have learned to treat sickness just like sin. Get off of me in the name of Jesus. I ain't going there doing that. I'm not going to take the devil's sickness just so I can make a bunch of people happy. You know, just so I can pay insurance policies to make people happy. To just, you know. So the other guy's sick, we can keep him well while he rejoices in his sickness and is so glad to have it. My words, we just need more health care. We need more health and less health care. We need more health. My God, get health. Glory to God. But see, you can't live in that seen realm and live in that place of hope and that place of faith. You can't go there. That doesn't mean you don't see what's going on around you. That's why, like in our nation today, you know, I'm not going to sit 24 hours a day and watching the bad news and trying to listen and hear the bad news. I got enough sense. But then again, I'm not afraid to hear things that are bad. I'm not afraid to hear it. Because I know what it's coming from. I know its voice. I know the spirit behind it. I know what it is. And I know opposition against it is not by going through what most people do about it. Most people worry and everything else, and most people are always looking out for the natural answer, for try to fix things. Well, if that guy in Washington, we'll just send another guy down there. I'll tell you, he'll get down there and live under those same spirits that are dominating Washington, and a good man will turn around and be under the weight. My God, he'll get down there, and almost everybody around him is going to be badgering him and trying to get him to do something else what he knows ain't right. Because he has to get down there with all those other idiots we voted in office. Well, sure. The pressure. I found out many times, and many times things that happened in my life I told nobody about because I knew generally people would not understand the direction I'm going. I'm not against people. I don't need a greater battle. I don't know about you. I don't need a war that's greater. Have you ever been in a situation, under a tough situation? And as soon as people found out about it, you thought you were in a tough situation until they found out about it. Then you got into a tough situation and you wish nobody would have ever known because they weren't on your side and getting over anymore. You know, you became the talk of the town. Oh, we're believing and praying God with you. Yeah, while they criticize and run in their mouths in the background. And oh, it is good preaching. I don't know. I wish I'd had notes on this. We could have went somewhere. Hallelujah. I could have preached it again, but I don't have any notes on it. Hallelujah. But you need to understand these things because of battles, and that's what you need to understand. If you're going to live this, you have to maintain your hope. You have to do that. This is the place we're called to live this life of faith. You have to maintain hope. So you use wise. That's why Jesus said, don't cast pearls before swine. Don't just up and tell people, everybody, what you're doing in the places of faith you're walking in. Man, there's a lot of people out here, they got bags of rocks. They're going to tell you and smile to your face, but when you turn around and walk away, they're going to be lobbing them. They're going to be lobbing rocks at you, you know, because they're an idiot. Ugh, man, he's going too far. You know how many times I've had ministers come and tell me, people who are over me in authority telling me, you need to use some wisdom in some of this stuff that you do. You need to use some wisdom. And I just learned a time. When I was younger, I'd say some things back, and today I know you don't. Just don't even bother. I just look at them, and I just know. You have no clue where faith is, or where walking. You have no clue. We're walking in two different realms. You need to understand this. You get now. You know, there's areas that people might walk in one area of their life where they do understand faith in one area and other areas. I found out most people. This is nothing to do with bragging with me. I've taken time over the years to learn to do it. I walk in a place concerning and healing and stuff that most people don't really know how to do it. It's because I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching and listened to it. And what I did is I refused to listen to anything else. I wouldn't listen to anything else. And I just listened to it and studied it in the scriptures and studied it. Prayed about it. Talked to God. Asked the Holy Ghost to reveal things. Did it till I got to a place of understanding about healing, to walk in a place that I know that when I talk to somebody about having a heart attack and getting up and going for a run, sounds ridiculous. I'm going to tell you what, it made sense to me. Seemed like the thing to do. I said, devil, you ain't killing me. I'm going to go for a run and live. I'll show you. Well, what if you'd have died? I'd rather die heading in a right direction than going the wrong direction just to live. I don't like the get-by life. I live 30 years getting by. I ain't living 30 years more years getting by. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to go there. And so you come to that place. But the devil, his whole thing is rob hope, and he's going to run and rob your hope. He's going to try to come to you. And sometimes people don't get fighting the folks. People get over ignorance. They don't understand. Some people are, I believe, demonically inspired. You know, they're good at trying to rob people of hope. I think, the devil just uses them good. They try to rob people of hope. But you're going to find out. You're going to have people just try to rob you, try to convince you. Yeah, that's okay, but. And when they say but, that's when you need to know to turn off the button. You know, I no longer hear anymore. Let them talk. Because, you can walk away for 20 minutes, come back, they'll still be standing there saying that stuff. You know, so it don't matter. So if you want to come back to it, you can. Because that's all they got to say. They don't know nothing else. But I learned a time. You have to ignore things and let things go. Because what you must maintain and protect yourself. That's why Jesus said, be careful how you hear. That's why he said that. Because there's things that are always going to rob you of your hope. They're going to try to tell you, yes, yeah, I know God healed this guy over here, did this miracle, but I know a guy that was really a good Christian, and he believed like that, and he died. Well, then I always just say to people this, well, I guarantee you he didn't believe like that guy did. If they were both believing the same, they'd end up the same place. I mean, that's obvious. How could he have been believing God? If it was God's will for him to die, then he wasn't believing God, was he? He wasn't even moving in the direction. He's trying to live and God's trying to kill him. He's in disobedience.
God. He wasn't a good guy. What are you talking about? God wanted to kill him, but he didn't want to do it.
People talk such nonsense. If they thought for 2 seconds of the stupid things they say. But I'm sorry, most people don't think at all. That's too long to think. They have been drilled, and this is why. It will take you time to develop yourself. Now, there's more than just in the areas of health to develop yourself. You have to develop yourself in all kinds of areas of walking by faith, because there's all kinds of things that come against you. You know, walking the areas of faith. One of the things that develop, here's one thing, is faith. Through faith, we can maintain our hope. That's a great thing. See, with the teaching that we had here, you know, with on the subject of dealing with patients, if you take that subject and you look at that subject really from the standpoint, you take it, if you want to maintain, to keep going ahead, one thing, hope is the wonderful thing that keeps carrying you ahead, because hope is always in the future. It's future. Now, so faith takes what you hope, takes the thing that you hope, and gives substance to it. So you never want to lose your hope, because your hope will carry you to the place where it doesn't look like anything's going right, everything seems to be going wrong. And your hope will stay strong through the whole thing. Your hope will stay. You protect your hope. Patience is a wonderful, if you learn to develop your patience, it is a protector of your hope. It will carry you through. No one has ever had a patience problem who stayed in the areas of hope and faith. They could carry it through. You cannot, without hope, carry through to the end. You can't try to do it just by faith, because faith is the substance of hope. Hope sees the end target that it wants to get to, and faith says, you'll have it, you're going to get there, it's yours. That's what faith does. Faith says, it belongs to me. That's mine. So I can stand from here to there. I can stand. Now you try to remove hope out of it. Faith has nothing to bring substance to. You're going to quit. You're going to quit. You want to maintain your hope. You want to maintain that confident expectation that what God said is yours. You have that confident expectation. Then faith takes it and faith says, you know, that belongs to me. That's mine. I have it. It belongs. What I've hoped for, my great desire, and what I expect to happen, now I know it's going to happen. It's mine. But see, there's still hope there. Faith has turned, taken that hope and gives substance to it. You go to that place, now you can stand. If you'll stay in that place, you don't let anything rob you of your hope. Anything to dwindle at your faith. Anything to keep you, to dwindle away that substance. What dwindles it away? What you're going to hear and see and other things. What you're going to feel. Those things are going to dwindle away. You can't be moved. I don't care if the feeling's good. You can't be moved by the good feeling. If the Word of God says something, I could feel good one day and not feel good the next day. I've seen people throw out and lose their hope because, you know, they were going through a bad time and all of a sudden they started feeling better. And then they woke up one morning and they weren't feeling as good. And, oh, I guess maybe this ain't working. They just threw hope right out the window. They let their feelings talk to them and decide. I know I've used examples. A woman years ago used to go to our church and died. And she died all because she was improving. She had improved and improved and improved. But all of a sudden, one day, got a bad report from a doctor, and it wasn't even really much of a bad report. But that's all it took her. She walked in the church one Sunday morning. I was standing up in front of the church, and the Lord said to me, the doctor gave her a report. She's believed the report. He said, she's going to die now. So he said to me, I mean, I'm standing minding my own business. He said, she's going to die now. She said, she's sold everything out. Now she's believing what the doctor said. And she had gone along and she had improved and improved and improved. Got a report that was just a little bit of a step back, hardly a thing. Threw the towel in. Listen to that report just because. See, you can't listen. You know, sometimes I've gone along, report gets worse. Sometimes I've had reports get worse on me than better. The reports don't get any gooder. They just get that you can't let that move you. I've often tell people in the hospital, you know, well, I'm going to go through this operation. When I come through, everything's fine. We're believing it'll be fine. But here's one thing. If you do come out and things didn't seem like they went fine, you can't change your faith. Because if you change, You just lost. And I tell people this, when you're done, it don't matter if the doctor says you're doing good or doing bad. Your faith must stand on itself, not on his report, good or bad. You weren't going into the thing based on what he said. Why would you wait to what he said to determine it was right? Why would you wait? See, this is what people do. I'm teaching you some good things here that are in the practical walk of faith. It's why people don't make it. They come out, the doctor said things didn't turn out. What happens? Dashes their hopes. They throw hope out the window, and then they'll walk from that time on struggling, trying to have faith, when they have no hope. And the thing don't work. It's because they let things... It doesn't matter. If whatever the doctor said was not, it doesn't matter. It makes no difference where I was standing. I'm believing for a quick recovery. I didn't believe I would go good through the thing, and when the doctor tells me, he'll be the deciding vote. What do I care what he says on the other side out? If I'm in faith, my faith will bring me exactly what I believe. And see, that's where you got to stand. I listened to a testimony with Randall Greer talks about when his son was born, you know, and his son, I mean, things were really messed up, and his son, you know, almost did die as a baby, you know, and he was just in the hospital, and they had to do operations on him, and actually died, and the doctor, he was in the room when the doctor made the statement concerning the baby. He said he's been dead too long, and they got him back again, and he said, I think he's been dead too long. He said, I think he'll have brain damage. And he looked up, he saw Randall was there, and he said, you know, he said, you shouldn't have heard that. And Randy looked at him and said, you know, Doc, you just say or do whatever you got to do. He said, I'm taking care of things over here. See, who's taking care of things? See, most people, what they do is they go there, they put their life right in the doctor's hand. They put, it's the hospital that's going to take care of them. It's all this, they're going in and they're laying a thing. They are not taking care of themselves. Most people ain't taking care of themselves at all. I'm going to tell you, I take care of me. I'm the deciding vote. See, I could have 15 million vote against me, but it's going to turn out like I believe. I'm sorry. It's going to turn out the way I believe. See, I'm the deciding vote. You've got to learn to do that. You're the deciding vote. If everybody else is the deciding vote, well, then just throw the towel in and quit. Why go through all the stuff? See, and many people are going through what they call faith, but they run it up to the point, but then somebody else gets their vote. And then they decide with that one. You don't do that. You know, I thank God for all the doctors are able to accomplish and do. But the last time, I didn't have one run into one yet. It was God. I haven't run into one. I haven't run into one person. It was like God. But faith is about me believing God, and God doing what He says. It's not about me bringing something to pass. I don't bring it to pass. I believe God, He brings it to pass. That's what it is. It's not about, well, let's see who else's opinion we can get in this, or maybe let's get another prayer chain, a prayer request. It often amazes me. Years ago, let me just say this concerning prayer chains. You best know who you're calling to and asking to pray for you. I don't care what the minister says who's on the TV. Do you know those people praying? One of the largest ministries on that has Christian television, they have a network. I was a young Christian. I went out to Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. And I met a woman who was one of the heads of their prayer ministry. And after meeting her and talking to her about a week, I wasn't quite sure if she is even saved. She is an idiot. I never heard so many dumb things come out of her mind. Messed up family, her and her husband, you know, on the brink of divorce. She's running around praying for people, and she has such a messed up life. Her son was there, and her son got one day talking to us, telling us about things were going on. And I'm like, oh my God! And this is prayer ministry? These are the people you're calling in, and you're asking them to pray for you? I thought, my God, that ministry ought to have them people say, God, pray for us. Hell on my, we're on our way to hell here. We're just, things are awful. You know who you need to know who you ask to pray. You call and ask somebody to pray for you. Do they really believe? I don't care what that minister says he believes on TV. You can believe the people they put in position sometimes. They were people that ain't got no faith in the world. Why do we have people praying for people to be healed and they can't ever get fixed themselves? They're sick all the time and they can't, and we're asking them to pray for the sick. Dear Lord, get delivered. If you knew anything about it, you'd have a little success in the area, wouldn't you? Would you take... Look, if you walked out, there's a mechanic out here, and his car is always broken down and sitting along the road somewhere, and it's never working, and he can't ever get his cars fixed. Say, man, I want him to work on my car. I just can't wait. You know what they do? They take you out to Phil Haven, give you shots, because you're a nut. That's what they do to you. They take you out there, because you are a nut, and I would agree with them. They say, should we give him shots? Give him two. Anybody that dumb? Well, why would we do it any other way? Why would we do it just because somebody says we got a prayer chain? Because we got a ministry. Folks, I didn't plan on none of this. But this is just good, just down there. We gotta get around, we make some sense about some things. Because, you know, I was one person with the head of the prayer ministry, and look, at that time, that was in 1983. I had been born again about 3 years and 6 months, and I run into a person who's one of the heads of a prayer ministry. I mean, these people get millions of prayer requests a year, millions and millions, because the size of the ministry are getting millions and millions of prayer requests. And one of the heads of it shouldn't be there at all. You ain't going to go any further than your leaders. You know, and so you got this crazy. That doesn't mean everybody in the prayer ministry didn't know how to pray, but this one thing I know, the people at the top didn't have a clue. And the people running the ministry didn't have a clue. And yet people called it, oh, they're real spiritual. They had any spirituality. They had never had that woman in her position. You know, it didn't take me 15 minutes to get around her, and I thought, this woman's nuts. This lady's crazy. Just listen to her just talk. I mean, you're out there just talking. Now you tell me that they can't tell being around her? You know, a young Christian, they can't tell. Like a young Christian can figure it out. <You know? laughs> Oh my, well, I'll tell you. Don't throw rocks though, folks, you know. Hallelujah. But I learned over time. And that's why I learned is if you're going to stand, and I just want to encourage you today, because we're dealing, I really did plan on going a lot further than I did on some of the scriptures here. But it just seemed the Holy Ghost is holding me here on this. It's because in the area, I think many times people have done things that have destroyed their hope. Got involved into things, listening to things and that stuff. They went through the things, and I found myself, you get yourself, you're all built up, your hopes are high, you get into the Word and you get into faith, and all of a sudden there'd be things there trying to dash them. All of a sudden there's stuff there trying to dash them. And it's just like the Word says, there's many voices in the earth, and there's none without significance. There's significance to all the voices that are speaking. There's human beings speaking out here, but they're inspired. People are inspired by spirits. People are inspired by, you know, you can either be inspired by the Word of God, or you can be inspired by other spirits. Use the Word of God. Look at the devil. The devil went, you know, personally with Jesus, turned around and took the Word of God and perverted it to try to get him to disobey God. There's people who will turn around and use the scriptures. I had it time and time again. I've had it in my Christian walk where people use scriptures to try to get you to move away from a place of faith. Trying to get you, use it. Well, the Bible says this, and they'll throw one of their little scriptures out there out of context, not dealing with what it really says. But if a person doesn't know and hasn't built themselves to know what they're believing is true, they start to waver. They start to, oh, well, maybe. Oh, the Bible says that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. My, if you're hungry, why don't you just turn those rocks into bread? Hey, man, what's wrong with you? Why don't you jump over? Don't the Bible say that his angels are going to catch you and take care of you? Go ahead, do the jump. Do the jump, bud. Come on. They'll turn around, use scriptures to turn around and tell you to do things that really aren't in the direction that God sent you. It's one of the big things Jesus did. Jesus didn't let the devil or his stomach tell him when he ought to eat again. The devil tried to tell him, hey, you can turn rocks into bread. You know what? I bet you he could have. He didn't know. He didn't let the devil decide or his stomach decide when the Lord was going to call the fast off. But see, this is the whole thing. Things will come along to try to sometimes sound good, sound nice. You got to know where you're standing. You got to know, you have to be in that place of patience where your hopes are strong and your faith has taken that hope and turned it into a substance that now that you know you got it, it belongs to you. Don't let anything move you off of that. Don't allow anything to move you away. It's mine, I have it. It's mine, I have it. And if I have it, then I gotta act like it's true. I gotta act like I got it. I can't go along and have my actions opposite. There's where others fail. Their own actions dash their own hopes. They believe, I believe I receive it, I believe I got it, but they go around acting like they ain't got it. They go around and making their actions. They got their long faces and that stuff. Well, you know, come to you, I'm believing God. I read this in Scripture, and it is in Scripture. It says, when you reach a place of faith, it's called rest. If you're in faith, you rest. You know what? Last time I was resting, it wasn't like, oh my, I'm just believing God. I'm sure you're going to stay a long time patience in that one. I'm just trusting the Lord. See, it's a lot of religious stuff, but what happens? A person really dashes their own hopes. They dash their own hopes because instead of acting like, I got it, it belongs to me. You know, people come up and say, well, you look, yeah, you look like a sick. Well, I'll tell you, I've been had this goal for a week now, man. I tell you, I'm just really trying to, I'm believing God. I've had it now, and I've had it, and I've had it, and I've had it, and I'd like to say to him, yeah, I've had it, shut up. I've had it. You can't get rid of what you just received. When you said you had it, that means you have it. You got it. You never received your healing. So you don't have it. So you got it. It belongs to you. Because why? They're always trying to appease the people around you. You don't discuss your sickness with people just because they want you to talk about it. They'll think you're an idiot because you won't talk to them. They'll call you stupid. But I'll tell you what, I got to be Mr. Well, and I like it better than their stupidity. And I'm not going to stay sick just to make them happy so they're my friend and they understand. Or they don't understand, then they won't talk to me anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's good news. They quit talking to me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! There's one devil I ain't got to put up with no more. Not going to be stuck with that idiot. Leave. Wow! Hallelujah. Let's tend to take her place, but hallelujah. You just got to learn to stand. But see, we're tied by the outside. We're tied by people. As we go on and talk this, we want to talk about Abraham. Abraham had to leave his family. Faith means you have to leave some stuff. And if you don't leave it, you'll never walk in faith. There's things you don't leave. There's things you cling to. You know, some people, your family is your worst problem. Because you keep trying to fix it all the time. You're the problem, actually. But you're trying to fix stuff all the time, trying to be Mr. trying to make it all work. Some things are just good to leave. You can't fix it. Say, God, that's your baby. Fix it. I'm going to do something else. I'm going someplace. She's trying to fix things all the time. We think we're Christians and the devil will come and talk to you. No, you got to fix this thing. You got to make it work. And it ain't nothing but the devil. It's nothing but yielding to spirits. I want to be God. I'm going to fix the thing. It's a God complex. Loads of people have it. They want to be God. I'm going to make it fixed. No. Do you know what? I really didn't, and I'm sure this is the honest truth. When God gave me the revelation about my family, if I followed, did what he told me to do, and he said this to me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll guarantee your family. My walk from that time was not trying to correct my family or get my family in line. I never did that again. What I did is I'd ask God what he wanted me to do. What should I do? Where should I be walking? What should I be doing? I never went over, well, I've got to fix this, I've got to correct that, keep it. I never did. I always told God, it's your job to bring the family. You said if I walk and do what you tell me to do, that's your job. I'm just going to tell you what, if it's my job to take care of all this other stuff, I ain't got time to serve Jesus. I'm just sorry. He can just go do what he wants. If I have to take care of all of my stuff and his stuff, I'm sorry. We ain't working together. I ain't working for a boss like that. You know, you go to the work and he tells you to go mow his lawn on the weekend. We ain't doing that. This is what most people do. They talk about serving Jesus, but never serve Jesus. They're always serving what they think is important. And I learned.
I just said, no, God, things that get out of line, I said, God, you need to deal with that. You need to do something. If I have to go deal with it, Lord, then you go do whatever you want to do with this other stuff. That's yours. It's not mine anymore. See, you know, God wants you to do His will. We just too many times are playing God. We're too many times playing God. And I'm sorry to say, generally, it's how the church world teaches. It's our job to fix everything around us. It's our job to make sure we pray for everything around us. And we're trying to do this. And we're trying. It's not my job. I never was God. Never going to be God. I can't do everything. I don't know about you. I don't see everything. Last time Ed checked, he don't know everything. I don't know everything about anybody else. I don't know what people or why they're even doing things unless God shows me. I don't know. And you know what? I ain't going to try to fix what I don't even know how to fix. We keep trying to fix what we don't even know how to fix. It almost ends up in a type of worry. It's a type of worry. We're always trying. We spend our whole life trying to fix stuff, trying to fix stuff. And we don't see that we're the broken piece. We never see we're the broken part. We're the part that ain't working. We're the part that's not fixed. We're the part that's dominated by worry. We're the part. And see, you got, that's broken. That's not. That's broken stuff. That's not good stuff. We got to come to the place that, yeah, that thing is a mess over there. But I'm going to bed. I need rest because God got stuff for me to do in the morning. I'll tell you, it's a shame, but God will take care of that one. Hallelujah. Good night. Folks, I've learned how to do that. I've had over time. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've had wonderful opportunities to get into some really good worry. And I learned, just go over and say, well, Lord, we're going to bed. And I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't going to live after that. I'll tell you, I want to go over here to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to go do that. Just think about if you were hired at a place to work, and all you did was take care of just your stuff. You never cared about what the company had to do with your stuff. Why would people think it's any different being a Christian? They think that we're supposed to be using up all of our faith to take care of ourselves, and of our families and everything, and all that stuff. You know, God promised to prosper me. You know, He told me, so my job was to work. I had to work. If He wasn't going to give me enough to prosper so I could take care of my family, then He's worse than an infidel. He said He'd prosper me. So He's got to do that. That's part of His job. He has to prosper me. He has to prosper you. But you're going to have to walk and live like it. Most people, even they're giving, they go giving that stuff, but they're trying to prosper themselves. They're choosing their offerings to try to prosper themselves. I give because God gives to me. I don't give to try to get prosperity. Prosperity was given to Ed. Glory to God. If I do what's right, I'll prosper. My giving is part of the acts of my love. That's part of what I do. That's part of how we act. We're just givers. So you know, you need to understand, it's the same way. If I'm out here trying to fix everything and I'm trying to do stuff and take care of everything, it gets all broken. It leaves the place of faith. It leaves the place of rest. Really, we have no hope, you know, because, you know, we've worked at it. You know, it's sort of like beating a dead horse. You know, you say, well, I beat a dead horse. Well, I'm sorry. I beat a few dead horses in my life till I finally woke up and said, my God, what am I doing? This thing ain't changing. He'd got to go do something else, but not spend all his time beating the dead horse. You can't make people change their lives. You can't do that. You can pray night and day and worry yourself, but you can't make people change. Dear Lord, look, if God can't make a guy change, get over it. But see, when you get over the areas of faith and you walk by faith and turn things over to the Lord and say, God, here they are. Here they are. And let's stand to our feet. Now, I just want to, you know, we want to say in ministry to you. I believe God's brought out, you know, to different ones. There's different areas of our lives that there's things need fixed on how we've been dealing with.